Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
I thank you that I'm alive.
I thank you that I'm alive.
I thank you that no matter what.
Thank you that no matter what.
I win.
I win.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your peace.
Thank you for your peace.
Thank you for your joy.
Thank you for your joy.
Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you for your kindness. Hallelujah.
Thank you that I'm a miracle.
Thank you that I'm a
Come
miracle.
Come on. Thank you that I'm a miracle.
I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle.
I'm the head.
Hallelujah. I'm the
and
head.
And not the tail.
And not the tail.
Come on. I'm the head.
I'm the head.
And not the tail.
And not the tail.
I'm a lover of God.
I'm a lover of God.
I'm a witness for God.
I'm a witness for God.
I'm obedient for God.
I'm obedient for
Come
God.
Come on. I'm obedient for God.
I'm obedient for
I
God.
I love my God.
I love my God.
I worship my God.
I worship my God.
I honor my God.
I honor my God.
I give him my life.
I give you my life.
Now say that again.
I give you my life. I give you my life. I give you my life.
I give him my life.
I give you my life, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now let the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you in that.
I give you my life.
See, a lot of people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can give them a song.
I give you my life. I give you my life, God.
You can give them a song.
I give you
but
my
you
life.
Gotta give him your life.
I give you my life, God. Hallelujah.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
And let the Holy Spirit minister to you.
I give you my life, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my life.
I give you my life.
Hallelujah.
Father, help me to make my life count. No matter what it looks like, oh Lord, I give you my life.
I give you my life, God.
And I declare this morning that you are King.
You are King.
And that you are Lord.
Yeah, God. We give you
and because you are King, and because you are Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
I have no right to keep my life. In this place of prayer,
we honor your presence, God.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
So that I might find your purpose. Mm. Not my purpose, your purpose. Just repeat after me. Father.
Father.
I receive you.
I receive you.
Father.
Father.
I receive your peace.
I receive your peace.
Settle me.
Settle me.
From every anxiety.
From every anxiety.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah.
I just want to release this word to you.
Yeah.
You'll receive it. It's for you. It's for you. If it's for you, you'll receive it right now. I want you to receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in freedom. Receive it, hallelujah, yeah. With all your heart and mind. The Holy Spirit says to you, nothing you have gone through, hallelujah, is wasted. Hallelujah. If that's for you, just wave your hand. The Holy Spirit said to you today, nothing, you all the way in the back, the Holy Spirit said nothing you have gone through is wasted. He said, not that thing that you're most ashamed of. Not that thing that you thought would keep you out of heaven forever. Not that thing that you haven't told anybody about. Nothing. Receive it in your spirit right now. Nothing. The thing that had your head bowed down. That thing that made you think God couldn't use you anymore. The thing that made you leave the church before. The thing that's making you think on the live stream that you can't come back into the building.
Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You have been through is wasted. And you are better than the worst thing you've ever done. You are better than the worst thing you've ever done. Spirit of redemption, come to you today. Your life will not be wasted because you think you can't get back. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, you can give God a praise. Amen. Amen. God is tremendously good. And he's not just good today. He's good all the time. The Bible says that his mercy is new every morning. That word mercy means exemption from judgment. So that means every morning that I get up, every morning that my eyes open and I take another breath,
hallelujah,
the Bible says that I am exempted,
hallelujah,
from some judgment that I deserve.
Yes.
And that is why, Pastor Bob, I lift my hands.
Hallelujah.
That is why I shout. That is why, Brandy, you can stare at death and still say, God, I bless you. Why? Because his mercy is new every morning. And I want to tell you this, his loving kindness, Mom, his loving kindness is better than your life. So no matter what you've done, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter how bad you might feel about yourself, his loving kindness consumes it and say, come to me.
Yeah, come.
Come to me.
Come.
And so you got to realize that you have a God that whatever it is, come on, say, whatever it is,
whatever it is,
he'll deal with it. Whatever it is, there's nothing that you can do that he's not touched by. There's nothing that you can think that he ain't already know. And that's why he's always wooing you.
Yeah, that's it.
No matter what, come.
Come.
No matter what, draw closer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter what, and watch this. And when he touches you, God, I'm going to talk to the people in the back. When you feel his embrace, he just has a way of swallowing up. He has a way when you come close to him. He can swallow up the pain. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean it's not there. But when you come to me and just feel my heart.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, that's how you can go on. You might ask, well, based on what I've done, how can I go on? I'm going to show you how. Come to him.
Come.
Ah, hallelujah. Jesus. So we're going to talk about the kingdom of light this morning. And constantly throughout the scripture, God is saying, trust me. Trust me. In Psalm 40, he said, blessed are those that trust in me. I will never make you ashamed. Do you realize that when you move into God, when you move into trusting him, he will never, ever make you ashamed for trusting him. But here's the reality. You got to realize also that the relationship is twofold. Not only does God ask you to trust him, he trusts you. What? He trusts me. The reality is this. God, because of the nature of who he is, Pastor Bob, the Bible says that God is love. And the Bible says that the Bible talks about the nature of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so he cannot love you and not give you anything. You can't say to your spouse, you can't say to your kids can't say to you that they love you and give you nothing. And so God, because he trusts us, he gives us a number of things. I want to tell you quickly 8 things that he entrusts to you. Number 1, he gives you his kingdom. Now here, when we give you the list, we want you to know that God has already set you up to win. It's kind of like when you send your kids, when you send your children off somewhere and you have to sit down with them. You say, listen, I'm going to give you all of this so when you get on that campus, you'll win. So God is going to set you up so that you can win. Number one, he gives you his kingdom. Number two, he gives you his word. Jesus says that I have given them my word and they what? They received it. Number three, he gives you his son. So number one, you got the kingdom. Number two, you have his word. Number three, you have his son. Number four, he gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Number five, he gives you the world. The world is so significant that one of the reasons that when he saved, if God just wanted you to go to heaven, he would kill you after he saved you. But he left you in the world because he gave you the world, God. He told Abraham that you are I've made you an heir. In other words, I've made you an inheritor of the world. So why are you trying to give the world up? I don't want to have nothing to do with this world. You're supposed to influence it. Number six, he gives you his church. Number seven, he gives you, now pay attention to my words here. He gives you his purpose and his gifts. He gives you his purpose. In other words, you don't have to go through life making up your own stuff about yourself. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you and ordained you. Now your parents are designed to help facilitate that. But if they don't, God, are you hearing me? Your parents, ideally, should be in a place to help facilitate what God has placed in you. But the Bible says, when mother and father forsake you up, I'll deal with that too. So in the event that you grew up in a situation where you never had a father to give you voice, God, if you never had a father to give you voice, to affirm, and you never had the mother to nurture, God says, I'll reconcile that.
Yes.
Your purpose and your gifting, because they'll release you to a place of prominence. He intended for all of us, because we got the world, he intended for all of us not just to sit in the church, but be in a place of prominence.
Amen.
Are y'all here?
Amen.
Right. Now watch this. And so even if no one in your family ever cared about you or cared for you, you're getting this word. That's how you know God loves you. And so when you hear the word, you can have faith in your future.
That's good.
That's why the enemy always fights your hearing, because your hearing begins to create a picture and you will begin to walk towards not only what you hear, but what you see. So how do I create? There was a gentleman, he said, it's easy to make people slaves, control what they hear, and control what they see, and control what they understand, and you'll always have them to be a slave. Control what they hear, control what they see, and control what they understand, and you can make them a slave. That's why it's so important, Brother Bill, for us to get good teaching, because it controls what you hear. That's why Jesus said this, Pastor Bob. He said, be careful what you hear. God, y'all ain't hearing me. He said, be very careful what you allow people to say to you. Why? Why? Because what they say builds up faith. Why do you think people feel like they can't do certain things? It's what they heard. You'll never be that. You'll never be able to do that. And that's why when you're in certain families, it's a conversation. It wasn't college. It was the conversation in the household that shifted the kids. So you should come to a good church that gives you a conversation that shifts you. That's how you know if it's a good church. What did the conversation in my local church do to me? And here's the last thing he gives you. This is the Lord of the harvest one. He gives you, or he entrusts to you, his great commission in his harvest. Let me say this one thing. We are the citizens of the kingdom of God. We are the only ones, hear me, who are authorized to win the world for Christ. Red Cross can't do it. Samaritan's Purse can't do it. Doctors Without Borders can't do it. The church is the only ones that are authorized legally to win the world for Christ. Those are the eight things that God has entrusted to you.
And so we're just reminding you, because we want to make sure we create a thread of all the things we're talking about. And so we know that you got them, but we want to remind you. And then we want to remind you what the definition of the kingdom is. Because we can't always talk about the kingdom, and you don't know exactly what the kingdom is. And so we're making sure that you understand the definition of the kingdom. The definition is going to go up for you in a moment. But while we're getting it, I just want you to hear Matthew 6, 33. Yes. And 34 again. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things you need, they'll be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Remember that righteousness is a legal term. Mm-hmm. It's a legal term. It means to be in right standing. Amen. With the king. So we're making sure we're in right standing with the king, and we're making sure we understand that with all the things that come at us in a day, in a few hours, much less in a week, that we're keeping the first thing first. What's the first thing? Seeking the kingdom. That's good. What's the first thing? Yes. Seeking implies that there's some work that you need to do.
Yes.
It's upon you, but there's some work you need to do. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom.
Yes.
Those that seek me will find me.
Yes.
Amen?
Good.
And so the definition of the kingdom is that this is the governing authority of a king over a territory, impacting it with his will, his purpose, and his intent. Why? To produce a citizenry of people who do what? Reflect. When you think about reflection, what do you think about? Looking. What else?
Yes.
Light, I heard somebody say. So you're reflecting because you are the light.
Yes. Yes.
You're reflecting the king's culture and manifesting the nature of his glory. Now, I think we have a picture to show you of sometimes how we feel, even though we know we're light, even though we know God has entrusted us with eight things, even though we know that we are to seek the kingdom first, sometimes you still feel a little down and out. Is that all right? Can we be honest with one another?
You see this? Now, some of us feel like Sonny Liston.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, y'all can be honest.
You can be honest that there are some things that happen in our lives that literally knock us out.
Knock the wind right out of you.
There are some things that happen in our lives that bring such disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Bring such distress, trouble, affliction, that we feel on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm, that I'm being knocked out. That no matter what you, Omar and Janine, say to me, I feel like I am literally on the canvas every day of my life. And it is a struggle So you talking about get to the corner, I'm just ready to call it quits. Because something or someone is constantly putting me on the canvas.
Yeah.
We wanted to show you this because when you are wrestling with disappointment, it can be a terrible thing. And sometimes you might even say to yourself, man, I think I'm a failure. But here's the thing that I want to say to you this morning. If you believe at your core that even though you might have gotten knocked out, that you are a failure, you'll never run out of proof. Let me say that to you again. In your core, in the deep part of your spirit, if you believe that you are a failure, you will always find proof that aligns with that belief.
Yeah.
But we want you to know today that you might have failed or you might be failing, but you are not a failure. In fact, failure, you are not a failure, but failure is only an event. And so we want you to get deep down in your spirit of what you are not. In fact, the word said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, I need you to fight. So I want you to realize that in your life, you are going to have to fight. The Bible tells us that you're going to fight. And let me tell you how, the type of fight it's going to be. It's going to be a good fight. And this fight going to go 15 rounds. And that word fight in the Greek means agony. And so that means that when you are fighting, it is going to be stressful. But what I want you to know is that God is going to release the grace for you, Marva, to put up a good fight that honors him. And so you might have to ask yourself, yeah, that's it. You might have to ask yourself, well, what am I going to have to fight for? Sometimes you got to fight for yourself. You might have to fight for your own mind.
Yeah.
You might have to fight for your own peace. You're going to have to fight for your marriage. You're going to have to fight for your children. You're going to have to fight for your place in society because the enemy is not going to just allow you to take up your rightful place, even though God entrusted it to you.
That's
and
right.
So don't be alarmed that if you start to fight, the enemy punch you in your mouth. Spit the blood out and keep rumbling. Spit the blood out and keep rumbling. I'm talking to my street folks. You gotta make sure you fight. Yeah, yes, watch this. Yes, that happened in your marriage. Yes, that happened to your children. But enemy, devil, I'm gonna rumble.
Rumble, rumble.
Rumble, rumble, young man, rumble. And some of y'all, that's why you got to start practicing your shadow boxing with the scriptures. I'm the head,
not the tail.
And you might even have to add some kicks in there. Front kick, left kick, or y'all roundhouse. Listen, I'm trying to tell y'all, don't get up in here and act like you forgot how to fight. Fight for your daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight for your son. Fight for your husband. Fight for your grandchildren. Fight for your wife. But my God, he already up fighting.
Fight.
And don't say, I'm too old to fight. The Bible said I've been young.
And I've been old.
And I've been old.
Come on.
And I still.
Never.
And I've never.
Never seen.
See, that means you can still knock somebody out. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Here's what you got to know.
Yes.
If you want to fight right, you got to know what you're fighting with.
Yes.
Let me give you a couple things to fight with. Yes. Romans. Romans said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Yes. Romans 8, it told you a whole list of things that went down. It said none of it could keep you down.
Yes.
Let me show you this. Joshua 3. We're going to go quickly through it, but I want you to have it. And when you go back to study it, read chapters 2 and 3. Now, we know that these Israelites, man,
yeah,
Where were they? They were wandering where? In the wilderness, right? Wandering in the wilderness. Who knows how long they were supposed to be in the wilderness? Somebody said it. 3 weeks turned into
40 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
That's why you feel knocked out.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that was supposed to take 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You're looking over your life. When I look back over my life,
yeah,
sometimes you're like, where did the time go?
Yep.
What happened?
What did I do?
I'm down. I'm out. I'm on,
yes,
my back.
Yeah.
The Israelites understood. Mm. Joshua 3, verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 4. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it. He's giving the commands to the people, and it is the Ark of the Covenant. He said, about 2,000 cubits in measure, come not near unto this ark, that ye may know the way by which you may go. Underline that. That you may know the way by which you would go. You have to know the way you're going.
Direction.
Receive instructions. He said that you may know the way by which you would go. For you have not passed this way before. You got to know where you're going, but you have to remember and understand when you get to a spot and you don't know because you've never been there before.
Yeah. Let me just add this. And when we talk about where you've been, you might be the first person in your family that broke through with money. You might be the first person in your family that broke through with the marriage.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying.
Come on.
So sometimes you'll struggle because you've never been there before. The family never been there before. The enemy always fight who's first.
It's the law of the first. It's the law of the first. He always fights who first. Listen to what else he said. You've never passed this way before. Verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, here it is. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now skip over to verse 15. It says, and they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped, where? Into the brim of the water. And we know what happened after that. The waters parted and they walked over on dry ground. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. You are on the brink. The brink of a breakthrough. You are on the brink of a breakthrough. If somebody tap you a little bit, you're going to fall over. You're on the brink of a breakthrough. I remember when I was little, my brother put his head through the banister bars. It was terrible. Just stuck his head right through there. And we might have a video, we might not, but he stuck his head through the bars. And my mom is screaming in the background, panicking. My father is trying to put his foot up against one bar and pull the other to stretch the bars apart. And my brother's just there, unbothered. Some of us are trying to figure out how to get out, get our head from between the bars.
Mom
Barlow screaming and praying for 40 years. Constance, Minister Constance, and all the intercessors got your name on the roll. You got people crying in the background, people reading books for you, emailing you, sending you encouraging messages, and you just there.
Yep, on the brink.
On the brink of a breakthrough. This is what God said to us when we were preparing for you this week. He said, sometimes the way through is up and out. All the pushing, all the pulling, all the gathering tools, all the crying, all of that, All the little boy had to do was stand up, reposition himself, and walk on through the bars.
Yeah, yeah.
And came right out.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
So you're not as stuck as you think you are. Sometimes it's just that, just like when Joshua was speaking to the people, you got to get up, reposition yourself, and walk on through. You can't stay in the same position and think you're going to get a breakthrough.
Can't stay
when you're right on the edge.
Yeah.
He told him, he said, you put your foot on the edge of the water. Why? It was harvest time, so the waters were overflowing. The waters were overflowing because it was harvest time. He said, but if you just put your foot on the brink, hallelujah, you go ahead and you're going to walk right through on dry land.
Yep.
Show the picture again.
Yeah, show the picture. Yep.
And so when you get the word and you exercise the word, you're not listed anymore.
Yes.
Who are you, honey?
You Ali now.
Come on.
You about to knock out. You stand up. Now watch this. Now here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to tell you about life. Life is a contact sport.
Yes, it is.
You will get hurt. God. No. Life is a contact sport. You will get hurt. We have hurt people. That's life. Life is a contact sport. And when you get knocked down or knocked out, you got to learn, like my man Bryant Lee Phillips says, you have to learn how bounce back better.
Better.
Some people bounce back, they're never the same again. Yeah. They bounce back, but they're never the same again. Can't love again.
Yeah.
Can't forgive again. Just existing. I'm just at work. I'm just going home.
Yeah.
I just pay the bills.
Yeah.
That's just my husband. We're just going here. We're just going to church. Something happened to you. You bounced back, but you didn't bounce back better.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is saying to us today that when you get knocked down, you can not only bounce back, but you can bounce back better. Why? You can bounce back better because the
same spirit that rose Jesus
from the dead shall quicken you.
Your mortal body.
Your mortal body. And he will say to you, Pastor Bob, let that go. Let that go. That's right. Listen. Your future is too bright. Let that go.
Yeah.
Let that go. Let that go. You can't be, see, watch this. For where you're going, you can't be hateful.
Yes, yes.
For where you're going, you can't be angry.
You can't be mean.
I know he did it. I know he did it.
Yeah.
I know she did it, but let that go.
Let it go.
I'm trying to get in your spirit. Let that go.
You know
your husband did it. You know your wife did it. You know your friends did it. You know your family members did it.
Let it go.
And see, when you let it go, you let God.
Yay.
See, God will deal with you and them.
He
need this. She need this.
Right.
This is why they did it. This is what they didn't have. And then you can forgive them. Because they ain't even know what they were doing. Do you realize that every offense against you pushes you closer to your destiny?
If you let it.
Because that offense will make you pray. That offense will make you fast.
Yeah.
That offense will teach you how to take yourself out. That offense, you ever go to the movies by yourself? Y'all ain't in that level yet. That's the 400 course. When you know how to take yourself to dinner. And you know how to talk to yourself and say, ain't we having a good time? You by yourself and say, we need some soup. We need steak. We need filet mignon. We need caviar. We are having a great time. People say, well, who'd you go with? Me, myself, and I. We doing good. How good? Real good. See, you got to learn. You got to learn how to roll with that.
Yeah.
Stop waiting for people to change their mind about you. Stop waiting. waiting for people to change their opinion for you, waiting for your church, waiting for your pastor. Your life is going by you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you at half. So if you over 50, you beyond halftime. That's why Janine and I tell people, stop being scared. You might have 10 good years left living scared. Talking about, I really don't know what God's will is for my life. We just told you the 8 things. Watch this. Watch this. Here's why we don't do it, Pastor. We don't do it because if we started to do it, it would make us responsible. So we'll say things like this. You know, I have so many gifts, I really don't know how to get started. You know, I'm so talented. Watch this. Let me help you, baby. Choose one. And start working one.
Yeah.
And one, watch this, and one will open one door. God, start selling some hoodies. God, and start selling hoodies. You say, well, how they meet Bill Gates? How did they meet this person? I just started selling hoodies. And put something on top of it saying, studying. Never stop.
You gotta start somewhere. Gotta start somewhere.
So watch this. Watch this. There's something deep inside of you that when you start to fulfill it, watch this. It's eternity. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in your heart. Why? Why does he do that? This is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He places it there so that you would grow dissatisfied with time. He places it there to frustrate you about what you think you know, God, about what you think you're called to. And so watch this. When you really start to step into what he called you to do, watch this. He begins to redeem the time. That's why you should never say, well, I'm too old. The more you walk in the light, you'll bust the eternity time-space realm. Y'all gotta read Einstein's theory of relativity. He's saying that the light is going so fast that it eventually will bust through an eternal realm. That means that the more you seek God, who is eternity, he slows it down for you. That's why you got to stop saying, well, I really don't have time to sit with God. He would have slowed it all down for you. Slow it down. He'll slow the marriage down for you.
And that's part of the sanctification process. So we need you to get this as we close. That's why Joshua told them before they crossed over.
Yes.
He said, you're on the brink of it.
Yes.
But in order to go to this next place, you have to sanctify yourself. You have to purify your heart. They even had to wash their clothes. So this sanctification process that God is calling you to, it's internal and it's external. You can't watch that no more. You can't hang out with them anymore. You have to eat your scriptures like breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and dinner. Breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and dinner.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the reason I'm slowing this down is because we don't want you to leave excited and still not know how to get in.
Yeah.
It takes work to get in. You have to lift your head up out the bars, shift yourself, and get in. But Janine, that sounds good, but what does that really mean? That means that on tonight, you're going to eat some scriptures for dinner. Janine, what does that really mean? That means that a couple times this week, you're going to fast. You're going to turn your plate down, and you're going to eat, whether it's half day, whole day. It means that series that you started watching, you're not going to finish that because it's not edifying your spirit. I know it might not be exciting, but I'm telling you how to really get in. This is how you change your life. This is how you get the meat on your bones that you need to get up off the mat so that you can live the life that God purposed and predestined you. I promise if you just download the Bible app and follow one of the plans on there for whatever you're struggling with for 3 days or 5 days or 7 days, that your life will begin to change. Why? Because the entrance of his word bringeth light.
Yes, yes, yes. Janine, if I can add this. So what Janine is saying, everybody repeat after me and say rhythm. No. You ain't even saying it with rhythm. Somebody say rhythm.
Rhythm.
Rhythm. Rhythm. So what happens is when you seek first the kingdom of God,
yeah,
it becomes primary. It becomes predominant. To seek means to look for, search, right, to desire, to crave. It takes work. That's why it says labor to enter into his rest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's work to get into the rest of God. It's work to get into a restful place. Now watch this. When you make the kingdom of God primary, this is for you, Darrell, he begins to add a rhythm to your life. He begins to set a pace. That's why God is not telling us to tithe to make him rich. He's saying, I need you to honor me by acknowledging me by paying your tithe. Why? Because I'm going to add rhythm to your money. I'm going to add rhythm to the rest of your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you start praying at certain times, it adds rhythm, and it also sends a signal to the devil, because the devil hates cycles. He hates when you're disciplined.
Yeah.
He love it when you're sloppy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He love it when you're out of
order.
Let
me say this. This is important.
Yeah.
What you just said, the Holy Spirit reminded me. When before they crossed from Shittim into the promised land, that was a valley. It was a place where Balaam had been hired as a false prophet to try to cause them to lose their right to go into the promised land. You understand how serious this is? The enemy had hired somebody. He was so serious.
Yes.
The enemy will put
somebody,
people on assignment in your life to try to stop you from getting into what you're supposed to get. You say, I feel like I'm supposed to be wealthier than this. I feel like I'm supposed to be this. I feel like I'm supposed to be that.
Yeah.
But there's something that the enemy will pay somebody.
Mm.
Put them on assignment.
Yes.
That enemy paid that prophet to try to stop them from moving into the promised land. As the people sweep through your mind, as the habits sweep through your mind right now, make a decision to cut it off.
Watch this.
What's stopping you from getting in? What's stopping you from getting in? They were in this valley right before they were on the brink of the breakthrough, but they were in a valley. Prophets trying to stop them. Prophets of Baal trying to stop them. But they couldn't work. They had to sanctify themselves because God wouldn't allow that prophet to succeed. Every curse that he put upon them turned into a blessing. Every curse that he put upon them turned into a blessing.
That's good.
But listen to this. They sabotaged themselves. Because while God was protecting them and the promise, God is protecting you and the promise, but you're sabotaging yourself. Why? Because you won't sanctify yourself. 1 Peter 2, holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart. That's what sanctify means. So again, we want you to be excited in your spirit. But when you get by yourself, we also want you to hear us saying exactly what you need to do. Discipline yourself. Put your phone down.
Yes.
Delete the apps. Turn the TV off.
Block certain people.
Block whoever it is that you know is grieving your spirit or causing you to be unclean.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious we have. It's practical. I know it's not exciting.
Yeah.
But it'll get you from where you are to where you want to be.
Yeah.
If that's you, I want you to just stand up. We're going to release a prayer of discipline over your life.
Watch this.
Just begin to stand
watch
up
this.
If you want that for your life.
Hallelujah. I want you to
thank
receive
you,
this. I want you to get this. The Bible says that the hand of the diligent
shall
bear rule. That means the hand of the diligent shall always be in authority. Now, let me give you this. I want you to get this in your spirit. There are multiple rewards for every disciplined effort. There are multiple rewards for every discipline effort. And sometimes when you start to move in discipline, you need to have faith in the invisible.
That's good.
Sometimes you stop praying because you're like, this
don't
work.
You don't see anything.
This don't work. See, that's what the enemy will tell you. But the Bible says that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's the most insignificant seed that you could sow. So oftentimes when you do things in agreement with God, you'll say this to yourself, that's nothing. That's nothing. I just went to church. I just started praying. I just started fasting. But when you keep doing it, even when you don't see anything,
keep
doing it. Because you'll wonder, I keep talking to my kids. I keep sitting down and giving them wisdom.
Keep
doing it.
Keep doing it.
Keep talking. Keep rapping.
Keep doing it.
Keep studying. Keep reading. Because there are multiple rewards for every disciplined effort. You can release the prayer.
Release the prayer.
Yeah.
Pastor Bob, can you come, please?
Hallelujah.
We call him Pastor Bob because we just want you. Can you stand in the middle, Pastor? Look at the people. We didn't ask everybody to stand up. We just asked the people who wanted to sanctify themselves to stand up.
This is for discipline.
This is the heart of the people you lead. So we want to ask you to release the prayer over
for
us.
Discipline, Bob.
For discipline. For sanctification. For consecration.
And Pastor, those things that even as an athlete, certain things that you've seen that they got to strive lawfully to get it. And we pray that you would release that to those that you're pastoring.
Let us pray.
Thank you, Father.
Father, we stand in your presence, a disciplined people. As your servant Paul said, we don't shadow box. We are fighting. We're running a race, not in vain, but for a prize. Help us with discipline and consistency to keep our eyes on the prize, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Teach us to press towards the mark of the prize, which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we be disciplined in learning about you. May we be disciplined in our prayer life. May we be disciplined by fighting the kind that only comes forth by prayer and fasting. May we be set apart from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. May we pursue holiness. May we follow peace with all. For without holiness, no one can see the Lord. God, we want to see you. We want to know you better. We want to be with you. We want to be like you are. According to your promise, as you are in the world, so are we. And just as you told us to set our face like flint, God, we do that today. Just as our Lord woke up early in the morning to pray, just as he set aside time to pray, so will we. Father, we thank you for the word discipline. Give us understanding. As your disciples, may we be disciplined. May we thirst for you. God set a thirst trap for every one of us that we would thirst for you. Not the thirst trap that the world sends, the type that Balaam put before the people. When his word didn't work, he sent forth prostitutes and the men fell. We will not be given to harlotry. In the spirit, yes, Lord, change our appetites. Make us wholesome, make us pure. Give us discipline in resisting the devil and watch him flee from us. every enemy that comes before this disciplined body will come one way and flee seven. One way and flee seven. God, we thank you that no more will we enter into temptation. Temptation comes because it's common to all men and all women. But thank you for a way of escape. Thank you for the way of escape. Somebody say, Lord, thank you for the way of escape. The things that used to trap me, the snare of the fowler, can no more longer trap me. And so, God, we pray this prayer for discipline. Discipline that comes without fatigue. Because, God, you know our ways. You remember that we're only dust. We start strong, but we want to finish strong. We don't want to be weary and well-doing, because in due season we're going to reap if we don't faint. And we will not faint. We're not going to get on the brink and faint. We will not faint. And so now, God, as we seal this prayer, in Luke 18, you asked the question. You said, will the Son of Man find faith in the earth when he comes back? Our faith looks to you. And as long as there's breath in our lungs, as long as your spirit is in us, we will walk by faith with discipline and not by sight. We will walk by faith. Somebody say it with me. We will walk by faith and not by sight. Put your hands together and give God some praise for the discipline that is upon you.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.